All of the government programs that we don't like are funded by theft. All of the government programs that we do like... Oh, sorry, there aren't any. Government is the reason that healthcare is expensive. Government is the reason you can't go to college. Taxation is theft.
And welcome back to Taxation is Theft, the show that talks about all the ways the government is ripping you off and what you can do to stop them. Broadcasting live on Facebook and YouTube from an underground bunker deep within the jungles of Mexico, I'm Dan Taxation is Theft Berman, former candidate for President of the United States, currently in the race for Governor of Texas. And tonight is our second episode of Debate Me, You Coward, the show where I pick fights with random people on the internet and invite them to debate me face to face, almost, kind of. So they can't just hide behind their keyboards in the underground bunkers of their mom's house, throwing out insults like racist, fascist, and moron. And tonight's coward, Stacy, is a former criminal defense lawyer and teacher, thinks that Twitter should be taken off the internet for censoring people as their punishment, even though it's a private company. What a tyrant. This should be a good one. But before we get started, if you're watching the live stream, please make sure to share and like and comment and throw out some insults from behind your keyboard and give us some ammunition to fight with and, root for one of us, one or the other. Make sure you share. Make sure you start a watch party and do all that kinds of fun stuff. And also, tonight's episode is brought to you by the Nug of Knowledge, indoor-grown, chemical-free, smokable hemp flower and Delta 8 vape cartridges. Get elevated at nugofknowledge.com. It's some really awesome stuff, and it serves a very great purpose. So buying from them actually goes towards some really great causes. And now, on to the show. Stacy, what the hell is your problem?
What the hell is your problem, dude?
I just think, I mean, Twitter sucks, but like, what authority do we have to shut them down?
Okay, like, psh, 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 jab, 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 cross, up. So Dan, mm-hmm. Taxation is theft. Yes, I agree with that. Taxation is theft. But I don't think that we should be shutting them down. I think that they are a government actor. Twitter is a government actor. Mm-hmm. Twitter, you see, if there is a nexus or a symbiotic relationship between any big tech company and government, then that company shall be deemed as a government actor, putting it... Mm-hmm. Taking it out of the realm of, no, they need to go out.
Hey, okay. That's cheating.
I'm sorry.
That's cheating. Are you getting notes from somebody?
No, that's my husband. He just got home. My dogs need to go out because I'm a lazy wife, and I didn't take them out because I'm so terrible. But I did feed them, which is what I just told him. So Twitter is a government actor because there is a symbiotic relationship between Twitter and government. If you saw a recent video where Jack Dorsey was speaking, I don't think that he knew that he was being recorded, but he was talking about how they are going to be watching a lot of accounts, and it's not just the Trumpers, it's other people who are dangerous, and now all of a sudden it's libertarians. We're dangerous too. Have you heard that yet?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Especially
that we're
me.
Dangerous too. Oh, absolutely. And
I actually
please, me
I
too.
Tagged,
I want to be dangerous.
I tagged the FBI on Twitter asking them if I'm a terrorist and if I should turn myself in, and I haven't gotten any response at all. So I mean, if I am on their list, they're a bunch of fucking cowards, because here I am ready to just walk in and turn myself in, and
right.
They're like, no, we're going to continue our investigation, I guess. So
Right. And I'm FBI. Like, hey, like, I'll be, you want to call me dangerous? Like, okay.
So
I take that as a compliment.
Yeah. I'm absolutely not dangerous at all. So don't come no knocking on my door. But like, that's gonna stop him. He's coming right for us. He's holding a cell phone. It looks like an AR-47. So Okay, so you bring up a good point that if there is a symbiotic relationship between a company, then it's kind of a government agency. But at the same time, the government belongs to us, to me in part, and I say I want it to have nothing to do with Twitter. I want it not to have subsidies. I want it not to be gathering information that's not... I mean, if they want to set up a SOC account and see whatever's public, then fine, whatever. But if they're not giving money to Twitter, which I think they are, and if they're not... If Twitter is not operating on behalf of the government, which I don't think they are, then what's the problem? So I guess... If they are part of the government, then they should have no censorship at all. Is that kind of your position?
If they are part of the government, then they should have no censorship at all. No. And the issue is not whether or not they're part of the government. And, you know, as libertarians, of course, we want our private property. We want to be free from government influence and things like that. But the thing is that government is already like intermingled with all of this big tech, with Twitter, with Facebook. And that's why people keep getting censored. Like Peter Quinones just got kicked off of Twitter for no reason. I mean, maybe there was a reason. I don't know.
Shouldn't that be, I kind of hate how you're phrasing that. Twitter is already in bed with the government.
So the reason why I'm saying this is because I went to a CLE a long time ago, when I was preparing for a murder trial or a rape trial. I don't remember what it was, but it was like a forensic CLE, and I learned that the FBI is already putting child pornography on the internet in order to catch people who are watching it. Mm-hmm. So, of course, we want private companies. As libertarians, we want private companies. We don't want government in charge of anything, really. We want, we want to be free. If we want to be socialists, then we're socialists in our own communities. Like, we want what's ours. But we can't really ignore the fact that government and big tech are already working together. So it's not that Twitter or Facebook or, Google or YouTube, it's not that they're not private companies. It's that they are private companies, but they're also, when they are working together with government, when they give government things and government gives them things, and they're clearly working together, they're considered government actors under the Constitution. So that means that, like, if they're deemed to be government actors, then the standard of Section 230, which basically says, I don't even remember the exact language, but it says, like, anything that's blah, 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 this kind of bad or that kind of bad or otherwise offensive, whether or not constitutionally protected, says something like that. Well, actually, if these big tech companies are government actors, because there is a nexus, there is a symbiotic relationship between big tech and government, which is becoming more and more obvious every single day, then even though they're private companies, they are supposed to be treated as government actors and held to the standard of the First Amendment, not to the standard of Section 230. That's why I'm still here. That's why I'm on Twitter, and I'm going to keep saying this over and over again to anyone who will listen to me. You know, that's why, like, I'm a former Tulsi Gabbard supporter, and she started this Tulsi Locals, she started her own social media company, and I'm not going. I want to stay on Twitter, and I want to fight with people, And I want to tell everyone that this is the constitutional standard, and that, you know, if they're going to be in bed with government, then they need to adhere to it. And there are only five areas of unprotected speech under the First Amendment. And those are the only things that should be allowed to be censored at all.
You want to give us that list?
No, I don't have the whole list, but I do know. I mean, I'll try. Okay, so defamation and obscenity. So like really bad pornography or something like that. And then the one that's at issue with the whole Trump impeachment thing is incitement of imminent lawless action. Mm-hmm. And it has to be imminent. So I don't really give a shit at all about Donald Trump. I don't really care about him as a human being. However, I do think that to impeach him for speech, which I listened to his message and I read his tweets right before his account was deactivated, permanently suspended. I don't think that the things that he said were criminal.
Sorry.
Okay. Right. So, okay, let me rewind. So I do not think that anything that Trump said, either in his tweet or in that speech, I would not consider any of those things criminal, for one thing. And we're supposed to only be able to impeach presidents for high crimes and misdemeanors. Now, before you say like, oh, Bill Clinton, because that's what my husband said, like, oh, well, Bill Clinton was, and I said, well, I thought that was disgusting. You know, like I was in high school and everyone was talking about Bill Clinton's sex life. And I was like, this is so gross. Why does anyone care? I don't care. I don't care what he does in his free time. I don't care.
Monica Lewinsky went to my high school, so that's why we cared about it.
Oh, see, I mean, are you serious?
Yeah, everybody was like trying to find the yearbook that had her in it. And yeah, it was crazy.
Where'd you go to high school?
Uni High in I guess it's West Los Angeles.
But she graduated like way before you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was in my senior year when the whole Clinton scandal went down and everybody was like, oh my God, did you know she went to this high school?
I'm 39. How old are you?
39.
Wow. Okay, so yeah, so we were the same age. I thought it was gross. Like she didn't go to my high school and, you know, like my mother and all of her friends were like crowded around the TV and I was like, what is wrong with you guys? Because this is not a crime like that Bill Clinton is getting blowjobs under his desk. Like, I don't really want to know. I really don't care what he does in his private time. I really don't care. So
but it was the lie. It was the perjury. That was the whole thing. And it's like, and this is, ladies and gentlemen, why you don't talk to police. Because if he just would have shut the fuck up, as they say, there never would have been any problem. Because what he did was not a crime. What he told the police during their investigation, the police, whoever, that was the crime. So that's why you don't talk to police.
I am invoking my Fifth Amendment right to remain silent. I will not answer any questions unless I have an attorney present.
That's
everyone needs to memorize that. No, I agree. He was, why did he? I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to play.
Well, I mean, if you're married to Hillary, you know, your life depends on it, I guess.
And I, you know, I'm not a fan of her at all. I don't know. Gross.
So,
I don't care. I don't care about any of that. And the same, like this, so, you know, I'm like a criminal defense attorney at heart. Like, I just, like, if it's not a crime, then just don't tell me. I don't care. So what Trump said before the protesters marched over to the Capitol, you know, I didn't think that it was, I didn't think that it was, I didn't, people keep talking about incitement of whatever. It's incitement. Okay, first of all, the standard is incitement of imminent lawless action. And he didn't do that. So to me, it's not a crime. And if it's not a crime, he should not be impeached for it. And the fact that he was impeached for it is only like lowering the constitutional standard for us. Like, I don't care what happens to him. I care what happens to us. I care about our free speech rights. And anytime our opponents are punished for speech, you know, inevitably we will be too for similar types of speech. So I don't know. I guess I don't remember what my point was.
I kind of want to go back to, you know, you were talking about, you know, the few things that you can say that should be censored by the government. And I want to bring up a really important point about that, because I'm always talking about the common law and how, you know, people try to legislate these great ideas. The common law, I think, was doing a little bit better job at it because it was looking retroactively. Is this a crime? What happened? And they were considering all the different things that took place. Whereas legislation is trying to like predict the future, which, you know, I mean, government is terrible at everything. Predicting the future? Yeah, right. So, but when you look at those things that you listed out, I mean, you have things that are actually crimes. Fraud. Fraud is a precursor to theft, which we hate. It's, you know, things that, you know, if you tell somebody something like, hey, take this medication, it's going to cure you, knowing that it's going to kill them, that, you know, these are actual, this is criminal, and it's something that you don't need any specific laws to look at. You can just hear the story. It can be presented to you or to a jury or to anybody else. You can hear the story and you can say, wow, what that guy did was criminal. And it boils down to, I'm sure, the seven things that you mentioned, which would be fraud, which would be telling somebody, hey, go kill that person. Which would be, you know, all these, or slander, telling lies about somebody. And I think that totally makes sense. But at the same time, if Twitter was a completely private company, then, and if somebody used Twitter to post that type of information, I don't necessarily think that Twitter should be, you know, spending all their time and money figuring out what's true and false and censoring it. But the person who did post it, who originally posted the wrong information, and especially if they know it was wrong, should be held, you know, they should be held criminally liable as if they were holding the same side and the sign right in front of the Capitol. And if it's free speech, it's free speech. But if it's telling a lie, what they know is a lie. If they're lying about a business that's hurting them, if they're lying about an individual that's causing that, if they're inciting violence with that, then absolutely. But it's maybe not necessarily Twitter's role at that point, because it's not really, I don't think it's really a matter of censorship. It's a matter of criminal activity. And Twitter, and you bring up a good point about Twitter being kind of in bed with the government, and I would say that they shouldn't be, or rather the government shouldn't be in bed with them, because I'm sure the government is the one who likely approached them. Hey, you've got this amazing tool that we could do so much with. We want to take it over. And they were probably like, yeah, if you give us some subsidies, you know, yeah, we'll do whatever you want. I doubt that they were sitting there like, oh yeah, we'll do whatever you want, and it's not going to cost you anything. We'll do it because we're a great company and we care about the government. I doubt that was the case. But I believe they should be isolated, and I believe Twitter should not have the responsibility of censorship unless they're, you know, and this could go back to, you know, some sort of common law question of, are their actions actually, are they doing something that's intentionally going out of their way to protect malicious speech or to promote malicious speech that they know is happening? Or is it just something that was like posted on an obscure account that they're just not monitoring and you know, not paying any attention to? I think there's a big difference there. But I think, you know, going back to what I said, like, I don't like the fact that you're saying we have to accept that they're already together, or that's not, those aren't the words you said, but I don't think we should accept that. I think we should reject that, and we should say the government should not be acting with these corporations in this way. These corporations should be free to act on their own. And if then in that case, if they do want to censor and they do want to do it just because they don't like somebody, then fine, let them. But we also, that's really up to us. And this is something I say all the time. The government we have is the government we've allowed to exist. It's the government we've asked for and the government we've demanded. As much as we hate it, we keep asking for this shit. As much as, you know, as much as everybody hates it, you still voted for the lesser of two evils, and every other election cycle you got what you wanted, and that's why we have what we have. You got what you asked for. Stop asking for the shit and you'll stop getting it. Same thing with Twitter. The reason we have Twitter and the reason they're acting the way they have and the way that they have as much control as they have is because we go twitter.com, click here for new account, sign up. That's it. Leave the platform. This is there's nobody forcing us to be here like they are forcing us to participate or to be under the law or under the control of the tyrants that control our government.
Right. No, I agree with a lot of what you said, actually. You said government should not be acting. No way. You said government should not be acting with these corporations. You're right. Government should not. Government needs to stay out of it. But I'm not convinced that government is staying out of it.
I'm not either.
If government were staying out of it, then Jo Jorgensen would not have been censored as much as she was. And Tulsi Gabbard would not have been censored as much as she was. And most importantly, I was a huge, huge, huge supporter of Jacob Hornberger. And I believe his account is still up. And his pinned tweet where he gives the speech, I don't know when he gave the speech, but it's like, amazing. It's like full of truth bombs, like, and I was literally, I had to re-like that pinned tweet every single day.
Wow.
And you know, and like as a former Tulsi Gabbard supporter, I was used to that because Tulsi Gabbard's tweets got scrubbed all of the time because she was the only truly anti-war candidate. So then it happened to Jacob Hornberger, and then it happened to Jo Jorgensen a little bit. I mean, and I know it happened to Adam Kokesh. I know it happened to you. I haven't seen any evidence of your tweets, the likes.
I don't talk about it much.
I just
call them all a bunch of
right
idiots.
But when you're saying like taxation is theft, you know, I agree with you. You have a dog?
Sorry, that was my dogs this time.
Aw. So no, I agree with you. Taxation is theft because the federal government is taking our tax dollars and it's spending our money to go to war. To go to war against innocent, you know, we're killing innocent children in other countries. We're dropping bombs. You know, I don't consent to that. I don't, you know, that's where we as libertarians, like at the end of the day, we're all still right here on the same team. We're saying like, hey, federal government, you know, you're not representing us. This is not what we want. We're not paying taxes so that you can spend our taxes on killing innocent human beings abroad. We're not.
I agree. So we have, I want to bring up another interesting point that's, because, well, let me say two things. One is, you know, you talked about if the government weren't entangled with Twitter, there wouldn't be the level of censorship that we saw. I I kind of agree, but at the same time, I think there's also, as a private business, they're not free from the type of bribery and lobbying that government is used to seeing. So when you talk about the Democrat Party and their massive, you know, billion-dollar coffers, I could totally see them going to Twitter and saying, you know, hey, we got this Joe Biden guy. Nobody really likes him, but we want to make sure that he's like top tweet for everybody. Can you make that happen? Here's $1 million. And there, I'm sure they would figure out some way to just say, oh, that's advertising, you know, something like that. So I think there would still be an incentive to make that happen. And some of it might be, you know, a little bit more shady, even though, I mean, I can't say more or less shady than what they actually did with the government. But another point I want to bring up is that, and I know this is a stretch, but I was trying to see, going back to some sort of common law, like to say that there's actual damage caused here by them promoting one candidate over the other, even though that might be their favorite. And the only thing that I could come up with, and still a stretch, would be to say, okay, there's this national election going on. It's a big thing. Everybody wants to know about it. If the media, whether it's CNN or Twitter, is saying these are the only two candidates in the race, what they are doing is actually committing fraud, because those are not the only two candidates in the race. And whether they want to cover one or the other more or less, okay, that would be fine. But when they come out and they say explicitly or even imply over and over and over again that these are the only candidates, they are actually lying about the United States elections. And I would say that is as criminal as if they were misrepresenting another business or doing some type of false advertising or something like that. They are intentionally misleading people with false information. And I think that would be a stretch where even if they didn't have that connection, they would have some sort of responsibility for at least telling the truth.
You would think so. So as a former Tulsi Gabbard supporter, I learned a lot of things that I really would never have learned before. And, you know, you would think that we have a democracy and that they tell us the truth about things and that we do have fair and impartial elections and, you know, the world is just wonderful. And I learned, and I was never a Bernie Sanders supporter at all. However, I do believe in democracy. And, you know, what happened with Bernie Sanders in 2016, Jared Beck ended up filing that lawsuit against the DNC. You know, he filed a lawsuit against Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I'm about to get you censored. Are we live?
Do it. We're live. Do it.
Is it okay?
Yeah, I don't mind.
Really?
Make it happen.
So I'm going to speak truth. Okay, so Jared Beck files the DNC fraud lawsuit because Debbie Wasserman Schultz was clearly favoring Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. That is the reason why Tulsi Gabbard withdrew from her post as co-chair of the DNC, was because she did not agree with all of this election. I don't want to say too much to get you censored, because I want to keep talking. So there was a lot of unfairness, and the bigwigs at the DNC were favoring Hillary Clinton over Bernie Sanders. And in their charter, it says that they're supposed to be, you know, fair and impartial. Well, they're not. So Jared Beck, you know, files this lawsuit, and the guy who serves his, I saw the video of the guy who served the complaint to the DNC. That guy ends up dead two weeks later. He supposedly overdosed on, I think, meth and some kind of downer. But if you watch the video of him serving the lawsuit, like, he's this chunky guy with like pearly white teeth. So it's kind of hard for me to believe that he was a drug addict or that he used any kind of drugs at all. And then 2 weeks later, Seth Rich is, he dies. The cops call it a botched robbery. Nothing was taken. He still had his watch. He still had his cell phone, etc. The police take him to the hospital. The police are questioning him while he's in the hospital. Well, I mean, you would think that the police would be talking to them while he was in the hospital. You'd think they would say, hey, like, hey, who shot you? The police are supposed to be wearing their body cams. There's no body cam footage that we know of. We don't know who killed him, but it was deemed to be a botched robbery. Tim Canova looks into this. Tim Canova is Debbie Wasserman Schultz's opponent for her House seat. And Debbie Wasserman Schultz at that time was the chair of the DNC. So Tim Canova is running against Debbie Wasserman Schultz as chair of the DNC. He has Bernie Sanders' endorsement. He's like famous, everybody loves him. So then one thing that a lot of people do not know at all is that the Washington Post emails Debbie Wasserman Schultz's spokesperson, who's named Ryan Banfill, and this is on WikiLeaks. So Ryan Banfill gets a message from the editor of the Washington Post, and there's this smear piece on Bernie's wife, Jane, saying that she fraudulently, you know, made fraudulent statements on a loan application for like this private school that she was like the headmaster of this private school. Bogus allegations, completely bogus. And so Bernie drops the ball on supporting Tim Canova. Like, he was supposed to show up in Florida to campaign for Tim Canova, never showed up, never said another word about Tim Canova. These bogus allegations were, like, the prosecutor finally said, yeah, we're not going to file charges on this. But when they finally said that, it was almost 2 years later, and it was after, it was mid-November of 2018, and Tim Canova's second loss against Debbie Wasserman Schultz was like, would have been like November 3rd, 2018. And now it's important to note that Tim Canova, after his first so-called loss against Debbie Wasserman Schultz, he filed a FOIA request to get the ballots because he wanted the ballots. Okay, so the DNC says, no, you can't have them. And they give like a reason that's one of the exceptions. So the DNC says, no, you can't have them. So he sues. So Tim Canova sues in federal court to get access to those ballots. And while the case is pending, Brenda Snipes, who is in charge of the DNC, signs, she admits during a recorded deposition that you can, like, I don't know if you could still find it, but I have it if anyone wants to see it. So she admits during this recorded deposition that she signed the document ordering that those ballots be destroyed. So, so if Tim Canova really did win that election, we'll never know because those ballots are destroyed. Now, Tim Canova won his lawsuit, but all he got were attorney's fees because they couldn't exactly give him his House seat because they didn't have any ballots to prove that he won the election. So I don't have any clue. I wasn't following the Trump lawsuits you know, I know that all I know is that they were, my husband said that there was one that was not, my husband's a Democrat, it's terrible. I love him anyway. But he said that there was one lawsuit that was actually decided on substantive grounds and not on procedural grounds. But the other, you know, and I don't know, I'll take his word for it. But all of the other ones were decided on procedural grounds and the merits of the case were never able to be heard. So I don't know. You know, I don't know if Trump...
You're talking about Trump's whether or not he had a landslide victory.
Yeah, I have no idea. I really don't know. I don't really care that much about Trump. I do care about Tim Canova. You know, that's my friend. And I do know that, you know, based on all of those things that I learned. Oh, and I forgot one very important part. So Jared Beck's lawsuit, you know, he takes it all the way to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court just denies it. But what's really interesting is that during the appellate oral arguments, the DNC's attorney, which was Jared Beck's opponent, basically said, you know, we don't have any duty to the voters. We could go into back rooms and choose candidates over cigars like we did in the old days if we wanted to. Now, that's not what we did, but we could if we wanted to. So the charter, the DNC charter that says that, you know, they have fair and impartial elections is, you know, they're like, no, we don't have any duty to the members of the Democratic Party. We can do whatever we want.
I think this is a really important point, too, because you have this concept that, OK, it's a private organization. They should be able to do whatever they want. At the same time, any organization is created with some set of a founding document, whether it's corporate articles, whether it's bylaws, whatever it is. And the Democratic Party has that. And so, yes, they are a private organization. Yes, they can do whatever they want. I can't sue them because I have no interest in them. But if the CEO of a corporation does something that the shareholders don't agree with, or that violates the bylaws, the shareholders can sue the CEO because it's basically a contract between them.
Right.
And if you're an officer of something like the DNC, you are elected by people who have a vested interest, and there's no shares on that, but that would be, you know, whatever the structure is, that would be the delegates and, you know, other people who have a vested interest in this organization. You would be violating, I guess, their contractual rights if you're not following the bylaws. And I think that's really important to recognize, because I know even in the Libertarian Party, they're not free from all this kind of bullshit. Not to the same degree as the Democrats, of course, but I see this all the time in different organizations. They don't want to follow their bylaws. They want to do, you know, these kind of backroom deals. But this is criminal, even though it's a private organization and they can do whatever they want. They still have a responsibility to their constituents.
So they owe a fiduciary duty, right? And if it were a corporation, they would owe that fiduciary duty to their shareholders. So who are the shareholders? Like, who are the...
Of the DNC?
Of the DNC, yeah. Wouldn't it be the members? Would it, you know, I see...
That would depend,
you know,
on the bylaws,
their charter,
probably.
Right. So their bylaws say, you know, we are fair and impartial. I don't, they don't say them, you know, in that specific language, but, you know, they say that they're fair and impartial. They clearly are not. And if if a political party acts like a corporation, then who does it owe the fiduciary duty to, because there aren't shareholders.
I've got it right here, as a matter of fact.
All right.
This is the August 25th, 2018 version. Unfortunately, I don't think I can share it with you because it'll just totally wreck everything over here. But let me see if I can just pull out a couple things here. Article 1, the Democratic Party of the United States shall, Section 1, nominate and assist the election of the Democratic candidates for offices of the president, adopt and promote statements of policy, assist state and local party organizations, work with Democrat public officials, blah, blah, blah. Article 2, national convention. So these are how their conventions work. Article 3, the Democratic National Committee. This is interesting. So I'm reading through this, and it looks very much like how the Libertarian Party is organized. There's an executive committee. There's a national chairperson. Party conferences, national finance organizations, full participation shall be open to all who desire to support the party and who wish to be known as Democrats. Discrimination to encourage full party participation. But it doesn't really say who's got rights to enforce certain things. You know what? I'm wondering if there would be something more of a process in here that might say when somebody is not following the bylaws, how to impeach them or something. That might be more along the lines of what we'd be looking for.
Right. And that would be helpful. I mean, Debbie Wasserman Schultz ended up having to step down from her chair, you know, from her position as chair of the DNC, because she was clearly not impartial. So whether or not there was some kind of process that caused her to step down, you know, I don't know. But I know that she was embarrassed enough to where she could no longer be chair. But then Hillary Clinton just like propped her up and brought her into her campaign. And then there are these pictures of like her and Brenda Snipes arm in arm, you know, for the while they're campaigning for the general election. So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, the DNC, I don't know if they're a corporation. I don't know what they are. You know, my point, I guess, in all of this, my point was really just like kind of like a sad point, which is democracy is not real. Democracy has not been real for I don't know how long. But
right. Well, you know, a lot of people would argue that democracy itself is not what it's all cracked up to be, because at the end of the day, it means whoever's got 51%, even if that 51% is a bunch of tyrants, if they get what they want, then they can still oppress 49%.
Right.
If by what you mean is that there is no majority rule, because even the majority aren't getting what they want, it's the handful of elites who are making backroom decisions, then I think that's fair to say as well.
Right.
I'm just reading through this and I'm seeing one thing. I was just looking for like all kinds of keywords like impeachment or violation. I found they do have an executive committee which shall include a subcommittee charged with a role for reviewing allegations and violations of charter or bylaws by elected or appointed officers. That's kind of interesting. So this is basically saying that this is an internal process, and that committee is completely responsible for determining whether or not any officer did anything wrong. This is interesting because this is it's not something that has to be approved by the delegation. Of course, the delegation gets to vote on that person or the people who are going into there. I don't know specifically for that committee. But this is, and I see this in the Libertarian Party, which is a small party. A lot
but
of
it's
the delegates,
going to get a lot bigger. So we need to plan for that.
What's that? Yeah, well, yeah. But so like as the party gets bigger, you have people coming, and especially when you have people who are, you know, you're going to a convention, especially a national convention, you're coming from all around the country, and you've got these people who are, you know, I'm running for, you know, this office within the party, and most of the people don't know who they are. And so you have these kind of like, you know, these kind of rigged elections again, where, or maybe rigged's not the word, but maybe it is. Maybe you have, you know, the chair who's endorsing a certain candidate for a certain role. You know, maybe you have, you know, that person who's been given, you know, special privilege, like advertising inside of the booklets they give out, or you know, whatever it may be, or there's money behind it, so they've got more money to advertise to the delegates. It's another shady election. And I see the same even in the small Libertarian Party. People vote on candidates that they have no idea who they are or anything about them. I've heard people complain about, you know, in the Libertarian Party, because they want to be all inclusive, that sometimes they vote for people for things like treasurer when they don't even know how to use a calculator. And they're doing it based on the same stupid things that we run our general elections, which is like, yeah, I really like that guy. I really think he's a nice guy. You know, I really think he knows what he's doing. Not based on their skills, not based on whether or not they're going to deliver and be accountable and all this other stuff. And so when you're voting for those same people to be in the positions that are going to ensure accountability in the other positions, then I think that's playing with fire.
Yeah, I do too. And Dan, you talked about how, I think previously you mentioned something about how, like, even if a certain political party is in control of social media, I mean, to me, if a political party is able to control social media, you know, and I'll concede, maybe if a political party is not a government entity, which, you know, they ruled in Jared Beck's case, not Jared Beck's, I mean, he was the lawyer arguing, but so they're saying, you know, the DNC is not government. The DNC is not a corporation. Like, the DNC is, like, I don't know what the DNC is if it's not government and it's not a corporation. But the DNC is able to control social media. And can I bring up something else that really nobody wants to talk about with me? Do you mind?
I can't really answer the question because I don't know what it is, so I'm just gonna have to say
okay.
Yes.
Thank you. So everyone is against Citizens United. You know, we're all against the holding of Citizens United because we don't want dark money in politics. Mm-hmm. I agree. I don't want dark money in politics either. But the Citizens United case, which, by the way, the text of the Citizens United case was not even printed in my constitutional law book. So my husband, he's like an A student in law school. You know, I asked him, like, what were the facts of the case? Let me tell you the facts of the case. And he's like, huh? So these were the facts of the Citizens United case. There was a film called Hillary the Movie, and it was put out by the Citizens United Corporation, and it was made available free of charge via pay-per-view to the American people.
Okay.
Hillary Clinton asked the Supreme Court for an injunction. The Supreme Court said no. So they didn't stop people from watching this movie. And it's really, really hard to find the movie. It took me a long time to find it. it's not on the Citizens United YouTube channel anymore, someone else published it. So
what's it called?
It's called Hillary : the movie.
I bet you $20 it's on Pirate Bay.
Pirate Bay? I don't know what that is.
Oh, you don't know what Pirate Bay is?
Mm-mm.
That is the yep, it's right there. Wow, it really doesn't have a lot of cedars. So Pirate Bay is the that's the website that the government has been trying to shut down for ages because they list links to all of the BitTorrents for everyone to download pirated movies and software and porn and everything else.
Oh my gosh.
And that's another interesting lawsuit we can talk about afterwards. But yes, so okay. Citizens United. So I just want to interrupt and say I didn't realize that's where the name Citizens United came from. I didn't realize that was the name of the corporation that put it out. I do now right. that you said the Hillary Clinton movie, I do remember that it was related to that. But yes, right. Go ahead.
So they put out this film, Hillary the movie, and it was, you know, it talked bad about Hillary, but it didn't just talk bad about Hillary. There was a portion from like the 30-second marker to the 40-second marker, like around that area, where she has super PACs. And if you remember like the gala from the year 2000, where they had Cher and they had like it was this huge, fabulous event back in the year 2000. And there's actually a video footage of Hillary Clinton talking to one of her super PAC organizers on the phone, and not video, it's audio, but you can like see she's on speakerphone from the super PAC organizer's side. And she says, "Am I allowed to thank you? I don't know what you did to get Cher, but oh my gosh, that's just great." So two of the people who were organizing her campaign finances, Peter Paul and Aaron Tonkin, both ended up in prison. So we'll just leave that there for a minute. So they end up in prison. She is on video in the film, Hillary the movie, asking the organizers of her super PACs if she is allowed to thank them. A super PAC.
You're not supposed to have any communication with them is part of it, right?
Right. So a super PAC, a regular PAC can contribute like $5,000 to a political campaign. Fine, whatever. PACs are fine as far as I'm concerned. Super PACs are not supposed to contribute directly to any political campaign. The contributions are limitless and undisclosed.
Is the problem that they made a contribution by getting Cher to the event?
Not just that. I think the problems were that there were a lot of different problems, and there were a lot of different campaign finance violations. And I didn't really go into like researching, you know, the specific charges against Peter Paul and Aaron Tonkin and, you know, like the specific charges that landed them in prison. I don't know. I just know that they were both close to Hillary Clinton and they handled her finances, whether it was super PACs or regular PACs or whatever. And they helped her put on that fancy gala in the year 2000, and they both ended up in prison. And all of that information is on Hillary the movie. And there was, so get this. It's so like twisted. So we, like even lawyers don't know about this because it wasn't in our constitutional law book. It wasn't printed in my constitutional law book. And I remember that my professor had us, you know, look up the case online, but then I didn't really, you know, I didn't really think much of it back then. And then recently I found it and I read it and I watched the movie and I was like, wow, there is evidence of Hillary having super PACs, you know, and that's, that was the issue of the Citizens United case, was whether that video footage in Hillary, the movie, could be enjoined. So yeah, so she did not get the injunction, but she got to keep her super PACs. So I'm guessing, I'm just going to make an inference here and say that, you know, her super PACs probably paid to have it go away, to make sure that it was censored. And that's why, you know, most people don't have it. That's why my husband, who, even though he got like almost straight A's in law school, he's like, what? You know, lawyers don't know about it. Other people don't know about it. We're not supposed to know. That's just one of those things that we're not supposed to know. If you go back a little bit further, there was a guy named Lou Wasserman who was like a head of one of the big talent agencies in Hollywood back in the 40s, 50s, 60s. I don't know. 60s, 70s, 80s. No, 70s, 80s, 90s. Anyway, he was Bill Clinton's earliest, biggest donor, Lou Wasserman. And I checked to see if he was related to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. I couldn't find any evidence of that. You know, Casey Wasserman is his grandson. Casey Wasserman has like privatized his Twitter account because there were like, he was like BFFs with Epstein, and you know, So he just shut it all down.
Yeah.
So that was Lou Wasserman's grandson, Casey Wasserman, who, yeah, didn't want all of us to know that Epstein was his best buddy. But there's a room at the DNC called the Wasserman Room, and it's like fancy, glamorous, the Wasserman Room at the DNC headquarters. So, yeah. So thank you for letting me go off on this tangent.
Well, so that's interesting, and like I want to dig into a little bit more about, because like I know, like I hear people all the time just kind of blindly saying, you know, corporations are not people, as if that was the whole sum of that case. And I know that can't be the whole purpose of that case. I mean, I know there was arguments about whether or not, you know, corporations had the right to free speech, which, you know, I think yes, they do, but that has nothing to do with whether or not they're persons or people. I mean, they're all persons. If everyone thinks a person is just a person, but it's a person is actually a legal term that's like a persona, is where it comes from. It's so, you know, if I'm doing business with you, as myself, that's one persona. If I'm doing business with you as, you know, Verizon or AT&T, I'm under a different persona. I'm speaking to you on behalf of the corporation. And so a corporation is a person, it's a persona. So that's kind of, yeah. And I know at the same time, there are a lot of people who take any emotional argument they can without even understanding what it means, just to protect their side. So for example, I don't like what you said, you're a corporation, therefore I'm going to say the First Amendment doesn't apply to you, with no logical basis for that. Without even examining the First Amendment itself to see what are the actual words that are used there and what do those words actually mean and what's the history, and let me do some research. Just, I don't like corporations, I don't like what you said, therefore you don't have free speech, and that's going to be my argument, which is total nonsense. That's something a 3-year-old should be saying. And of course, instead of informing people, well, I guess they usually say that with their ears closed, so it's hard to inform them, but the other side usually just likes to say, you're an idiot. And, you know, that's where the fight breaks out.
It's very easy to get like a large number of people to say something, and then everyone else just takes it as fact.
Right. So, okay. So we're not talking about, So this is really interesting because you said the whole issue was whether or not they could enjoin the super PAC into this lawsuit somehow. How did that work? I mean, so okay. First, let's go over this again. The fundamental reason that this lawsuit was even in the courts was because they were trying to destroy this movie. They were trying to eliminate
it. Right. So, Hillary Clinton wanted an injunction, which means that she wanted the Supreme Court of the United States to say, no, you cannot continue to provide this movie to the American people.
And what was the argument that was made? Because you're a corporation, giving out this showing these videos to people is not free speech? Is that?
Well, the court, when the court got it, I don't think that the Supreme Court really knew what to do with it, because this was like a new thing that it had been faced with. So, you know, they ended up ruling on free speech grounds. They ended up saying, you know, yes, Citizens United can put out this movie. They can pay for it to be provided to the American people free of charge via pay-per-view because it's speech, because money is speech. I don't know if the court actually said money is speech. I think it might have. I don't know. I would have to
remember
read the
that
case
was one of the simplified interpretations of it.
Yeah, like, but yeah, the court said that. A corporate, like, in order to have you know, these constitutional rights, you know, these are individual rights, like the Bill of Rights spells out, like, our individual rights. And so in order to have these individual rights, we have to be like an individual. So like a person is an individual. And they said, yes, this movie can be provided to the people and shown to the people, and Citizens United can pay for that, and that's fine because it's speech, and a corporation is considered a person, you know, under the First Amendment. So a corporation can speak by publishing and paying for things to be published.
Yeah, and I want to this is an important point I bring up all the time, right? Because people are like, you know, where do you somebody asked me, where do you get the right to keep all the money that you earned? I saw that one on Twitter. Where do I get the right to call it my money? Well, because that was the deal. I'm going to work for you, you're going to give me the money, and the money is going to be mine. And I don't remember signing an agreement with the government in that process. But going to the U.S. Constitution, where does the government have the right to do X, Y, Z? And I think it's Lysander Spooner who had the philosophy that you could not, no government should, or organization or group of people or anything should have any rights that any of the individuals did not have to give to that organization in the first place. And I think to simplify it even more than that is, anytime you have a government or you have a corporation or any like non-legal entity group of people, it's just a group of people. And if one person is not allowed to steal, if I'm not allowed to steal by myself, then if I get in a group of five people, I don't magically now have the right to steal. In the same way, if I'm allowed to say whatever I want with certain limitations, causing damage to somebody else, if I'm in a group with five other people or 1,000 other people, I still have that right. I still have my right to free speech. And if we as this group of people say, hey, we're going to create a new legal entity to continue doing the exact same thing we're already doing, there's no difference. We still have our free speech. And if we decide to turn that into a corporation and have shares that we can sell to other owners with the agreement that whatever we say is going to be not limited by the government or its rules or anything like that, but limited by the shareholders, because that's their investment. That's the agreement that we made with them. That's a right that we had to make the decision. And so we gave that right to them, or we sold that right to them. then you have those contractual limitations. But absent any of that, just because you don't like corporations, and here's the other thing, people hate corporations. There are, how many corporations are there in the U.S.? Hundreds of millions, probably. Probably not hundreds of millions, tens of millions. Mm-hmm. Millions at least.
A lot.
A lot of them are mom and pop businesses. They're not all like Amazon and Walmart and all these big companies that you hate. Those are just the corporations that you hate the most. There are so many corporations. The city you live in is, believe it or not, a corporation. It's a different kind of corporation, more or less, but it's still a corporation. And so we need to realize that when people start saying like, oh, I hate corporations because blah, 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 blah. Really? Do you hate me because I have a corporation on my little mom and pop operation? We need to stop using the wrong words. And I think that's how these elitists are controlling us. They're getting us to use these words in the complete wrong context. So when we have discussions with each other, we end up yelling at each other and hating each other because of the words that we use that we're just understanding differently.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to stop ranting.
You're going to stop what?
I'm going to stop ranting.
Okay. You don't have to.
I think that's the end of that thought. But we're at the end of the show. Do you have any closing remarks you would like to say? Would you like to concede on our debate? I think we both had really good points.
No, I don't think that, I just want people to think about it. I just want libertarians to, you know, I just don't want other libertarians to say like, oh, it's a private corporation, bro, like without thinking about the implications of, you know, if there's government entanglement, then they're supposed to be held to that First Amendment standard. So I don't, jab, jab, jab.
Yeah, no, I think that's, I think that's a really great point. I just want people to think about it. It's, we have to stop looking at it as the super simplified rhetoric that we hear. And we can't just look at Twitter and be like, oh, it's a big giant monster with its tentacles around all of us. Like, we have to look at it and understand what it actually is before we start making decisions on what it should or shouldn't do. And there's a very good chance that it shouldn't be doing the things that it's doing, but we should not just jump to conclusions and say, you know, yeah, it shouldn't be doing that. We should understand why it shouldn't be doing that, and we should know for a fact whether or not there are other things that we don't know about that are contributing to that. And I think, you know...
Exactly.
You know, you made some really good points about how the government's entangled with Twitter, and therefore it's kind of a force of government. And, you know, I think all of that really needs to be considered. And we can say, okay, let's, you know, maybe we can't make a decision for Twitter, but maybe we can say, okay, look, what Twitter is doing is wrong. It either needs to sever all ties with government, or it needs to stop trying to be the free speech thing. I think I said Amen. That backwards, because they're already, yeah, whatever. They either have to stop working for the government, or they have to stop censoring.
I think exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
I agree.
And yeah. And so, and if they refuse to do that, then they should be punished as criminals, because they're effectively committing crimes. They are destroying the reputation of certain other people and organizations. They're spreading false information, which is leading to people getting killed. Or I shouldn't say they're spreading false information, but they're hiding factual information.
Well, if they're choosing what to censor, if they're choosing what they're going to censor and what they're not going to censor, then essentially they are a publisher. And so they should be, you know, they should be responsible for that. But really, really, if they're working together with government, then they should not be allowed to censor anything at all, unless it's unless it falls under one of those five areas of unprotected speech.
Right. Well, and this is
the CIA and the FBI, like, they're already policing everything that's on the internet. Like, let's not pretend that they're not. They are. You know, we don't want them to. We don't want government to be all up in our business. I don't want them to either, but they are.
I want to give this example too of where they intentionally defrauded people, I think. And that was when, so after people marched to the Capitol, Trump did a video post where he said, "Hey guys, look, we don't need to be violent. We can all be peaceful," you know, all this stuff. He was telling people, I think he was worried that people were going to get violent, and he was telling people, "Don't be violent." And I saw the video and I was going to share it and actually put a comment like, "Hey, look, somebody's telling people not to be violent. Isn't that great?" And it told me I couldn't share the video because the video might incite violence.
Right.
And that was just before they took his account down. So what they were doing, and I would argue this, if they want to take his account down because it's a private company, okay, fine. But they cannot point to that video, which clearly did not incite violence, and accuse him of inciting violence, because that is libelous. That is criminal fraud. You are damaging his reputation. For
that's a really good point. I didn't even think of it like that, but I think that's a really good point.
Yeah,
that's a really good point.
And these are the things we have to look for, because we can't just say, "I don't like what they did, and therefore they should go to jail." We have to understand the big picture, and you know, we have to make, if we don't like something that somebody does, and we want them to face consequences for it, they can't just face consequences because we don't like it. They have to face consequences because it was wrong and it caused damage to somebody. And that's what we have to look for. And that's what we need to do as a society, right? None of this, like, what is it, poolside Pam, whatever, calling people because they're having a barbecue and they're playing their music too loud. I need the police. It's an emergency. I feel threatened. None of that shit. Come on, guys.
Right. Right. Let's get it together, people.
Right. All right. Well, I want to give you an opportunity every show. I do this if you want to plug or promote anything you're working on, favorite charity even.
I am going to be starting my own YouTube channel soon. And anyone who wants to come on, you know, and debate me about something, I mean, I really don't want people to agree with me all the time on everything. I really, 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 really don't want that. I want people who disagree with me on things to volunteer and be like, "Stacey, I think you're wrong about this," you know, similar to your like debate show, because I think that makes it interesting. So I'm just putting that out there. Like, soon I will be starting my own YouTube channel. And if you want to like disagree with me, please, 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 please do it, because that means that we're not robots. So I welcome it.
Awesome. All right. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in and listening to the show. If you like what you heard, and even if you didn't, remember to share it. Like, follow, subscribe, do all that cool stuff. Head over to youtube.com/taxationistheft and subscribe over there. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's at Dan for Texas. If you want to follow me on Instagram, it's at Dan Berman. And if you want to follow me on Facebook, which I'm not really doing much on anymore because Facebook just sucks, it's facebook.com/DanTaxationistTheftBerman, I believe. Sorry, that was a long one, but Facebook's been giving me problems. They've been shutting me down. I'm not allowed to run ads anymore. It's a nightmare. I got banned like Ron Paul. Worse.
They're assholes. Facebook is worse than Twitter. They're assholes.
And it's not just that they're assholes. It's also that they're really, really terrible software developers, because their website is always broken. It's always slow. And I hate that. I'm a software engineer, so like that stuff really gets to me. Like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Get your shit together. You're a billion-dollar corporation. You can afford you know, enough programmers to make this thing work here. Thank you so much for joining me tonight. This has been really awesome, and maybe we'll do this again sometime if you find something else you disagree with me on. And until then, taxation is theft. I'll see you guys later.
Thank you, Dan.